Hi, and welcome to This Property Life, the podcast brought to you by Property Wealth System. I'm Nick Claydon. I'm a property investor and mentor. And today I've got with me a good friend of mine, James Horgan. We've met James before on the podcast over a year ago, when we found out a bit more about his journey and his experience to date. In the last 12 months, things have really kind of ramped up for James, and he's now getting into some bigger deals. And he's using some very, very creative financing methods. So let's get to it. Let's speak to James, and I'm sure you're going to really enjoy this one. James, great to see you. Great to have you back on the podcast. For everyone that hasn't or doesn't know James, go back and listen to our podcast. When was that, James? A year ago?
Year and a half ago? About a year ago, yeah, Nick, yeah.
Yeah, so we get a good overview of what James was up to then, but since then he's been doing loads of other stuff. So perhaps, James, great to have you back on. Perhaps you just want to give us a little bit of an overview of, you know, how you got involved, where you are, your kind of journey in property today, and then we'll get into some of the meat of the exciting things you're up to now.
Yeah, no, thanks, Nick. Yeah, great to see you again. I guess in terms of my journey, I think I first invested in property in 2004, and you know, I spent the first 10 years kind of dabbling in property in different ways. But I decided back in sort of 2017, 18 to invest in my property education and really accelerate things. Got involved really in buy-to-lets, HMOs. I've done my own development from scratch, new build development. But at the moment, looking to move into service accommodation and also commercial to residential conversions are really the main focus at the moment.
Great. And I think we've got a cheeky hotel development that we'd like to talk about as well. So I'm really keen to hear about that.
Yeah, that one's just trying to get that one over the line. It's a really good project, really excited about it. It's in a prime tourism area and right in the center of town. But it's a mixed use. It's effectively what attracted me to the property originally was the retail element on the ground floor. That was let to a sort of tier one tenant, a Specsavers. So I knew looking at the project straight away that kind of underwrote the value in the building. So in securing that property, effectively that piece funded, you know, sort of 75% of the whole purchase, which was great. And takes the risk out of what we've got planned, which is a 14-room apart hotel. So heading down there on Thursday, actually, with the builder to really aggressively start working on that, but hoping to get the keys tomorrow.
Awesome. Sounds great. We'll get into that maybe in a little bit more detail as we go on. First, obviously, as someone that's had a lot of success in property, I know, you know, I don't know how you're doing this, but amazingly, you're still holding down a pretty high pressure corporate job while you've done all this. It's great to hear about your success. I've known you for a long time and seen you come through that. But you probably started at maybe a slightly higher level than a lot of maybe students who've come to our training particularly. You already had a little bit of a base down. But some of the things you've been involved with have been really impressive. For example, the HMO that you did and then built a house next door to it. So you kind of went in at a bit of a higher level than just kind of straight buy-to-lets. Although I do believe you are still just doing your buy-to-lets on the side. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, effectively not single units at the moment. Have been kind of dabbling in those that really, I just see the efficiency of working in bigger scale projects now, because it's effectively the same effort, isn't it? Really, you know, buying a property, you know, is the same effort. You might as well buy 15 properties if you like, you know, and with the potential. So, looking really just to scale up the size of each project. The second project we've got in the pipeline is we've got planning permission for 13 apartments, 13 flats, which is commercial to residential. So yeah, it's buy to let, but it's on a different scale to single single units.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, you know, it's the same, you know, in many ways it's the same, but I think for a lot of students maybe starting out or looking to scale up in property, it's about understanding the complexities of maybe scaling up. We'll look at some of the challenges maybe that you've had to overcome. But ultimately it's all about, you know, where you want to get to. So do you have a kind of clear picture in your mind, James? Do you still have a vision or vision board of things that you want to achieve?
Yeah, no, I do have a clear vision and a vision board, and you know, that's really what, you know, drives me every day, and it, you know, it is a daily activity. You know, it's an activity which I enjoy, which is important. So I find it personally rewarding. It's very different to my corporate job. You know, I always say in some respects, you know, corporate jobs can be a bit, I guess, nebulous, if you like, or, you know, whereas property is real. You know, the fees I pay to my architect or my planning consultant, and the work they do for me is very tangible. Whereas a PowerPoint presentation on global strategy, you know, potentially is less practical, and there's less of a practical outcome and can change all the time. So I do actually find the clear outcome really rewarding versus the corporate job. But no, I mean, in terms of my vision, yeah, I mean, I'm on my own personal journey. You know, it was on my vision board to have children, even though I'm approaching 50. So yeah, we had a little girl sort of 18 months ago. We've recently moved into hopefully our forever home. So again, that was a big tick in the box this week, and sorry, this year. So yeah, I mean, doing, you know, I'm putting all this effort in to achieve that vision, and it's great to see the progress as you move forward.
Yeah, fantastic. So there's a couple of like kind of key life goals there that you've ticked off this year. All your hard work's paying off. So really interested. I ask everyone this, I think, that comes on is, you know, how do you go about kind of linking your vision to the actions that you take every day? And do you find that challenging? I think this is where some people do come unstuck. They have the big thoughts, big vision, but when it comes to actually converting that to actions is where sometimes the blocks come in. So how do you do that? How do you kind of keep on track with it?
Yeah, it's true. You know, I personally don't find action a problem, Nick. You know, I'm highly motivated and action orientated, and it builds its own momentum, I think. It's like anything, isn't it? You know, going to the gym for the first time is difficult, but once you've gone, it's easy. Or going for that jog the first time is difficult, but once you've gone, you know, the endorphins are flowing, and you know, it's just about creating those habits. And you know, I put my vision first. I put my property business first. I put my family first, you know. So out of those good habits, you know, drives the right kind of behaviors, I would say. You know, if we can all distract ourselves with dopamine hits and whatever vice you like to mention, but they are distractions. And you know, what is really fulfilling is actually delivering on your vision, on your purpose. You know, that's where you get authentic joy, pleasure, bliss from. I truly do believe, and it creates its own momentum. So it's just about understanding that, understanding yourself, understanding how you distract yourself, and then you know creating the discipline to push on.
I think that's the key word, isn't it? Discipline. It's you know, it's great to have the vision, and you know, I think talking to you is clear that you have real clarity around that, about what you are trying to achieve, and you know, having the discipline to accept, you know, what you need to do and to get it done. You know, there you are. You know, in a full time high pressure career, but yet you're down to South Wales on Thursday for one of your projects. You managed to, you know, create an environment that allows you to do that, which is amazing. So yeah, you know, I think that's it. That's good for everyone to hear. Those of you that are in maybe a corporate job or a job that you want to build a property business on the side, it is absolutely doable, but you have to be pretty disciplined about it and have a clear path, a clear idea of what you're trying to do.
Cool. Yeah, you know, it can almost be perceived as a negative term, right? But actually, you know, there's so much positivity you can get from discipline. So yeah, I'd encourage people to grasp that nettle.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Okay, so let's get into some of your projects then. I think everyone would like to hear about how you go from, you know, where you started, particularly with HMOs was one of the first things that you got into when you started doing this, I guess, on a more professional level. How do you go from there to looking at a hotel with a retail unit beneath and converting to 14 apartments whilst also doing a pub conversion, whilst also looking at a commercial to residential deal? How do you make that progression?
Yeah, again, and I think it is a progression, isn't it? You know, you earn your spurs as you move through this process and opportunities open up to you. But I mean, you know, primarily I think it's the network, Nick. You know, once you're in the network and you see what others are achieving, what is possible, it gives you the confidence really to tackle different types of projects, I would say. So yeah, and you know. And also, I would say, you know, by that activity and momentum that you build on a day-to-day basis, you know, it delivers its own sort of confidence, I think. So, yeah, it's an ongoing process, you know, and actually, they're just numbers. You don't really get fazed by the numbers. It's really the quality of the job and making sure that you have the right team in place and working that team that you have confidence in to deliver the project and manage the risk in the project and make sure all the bases are covered. So yeah, it's just you gain the valuable experience through doing, and yeah. You just graduate to the next level, I think.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's just kind of it becomes inevitable if you're doing all the right things and you have your vision. It's non-negotiable, isn't it? It's if you've made that call and said, look, this is the level I want to be at. This is where I want to be. This is what excites me about property. Then you're excited about doing the actions. You appreciate that you need a team around you. But it does build its own momentum and it does become inevitable. You just get used to the bigger ideas. I think, I can't remember who it was that said, that, you know, you have 10,000 thoughts a day, you might as well make them big ones.
You know? Yeah, very, very, very true. Yeah. And it is, you know, and I would encourage people to scale up their thinking. And yeah, really, really, really shoot for the moon, really. And yeah.
Time is short, so you know, it's kind of need to crack on. You know, that's how I see it. It's like, look, you know, I'm especially when you get to our kind of age, James, you know, the clock is ticking, and like, you know, we need to make this happen, so let's go on with it. So let's hear about it. Tell us about your part hotel in Wales, because I love this one.
I guess, as I said, what attracted me was the underwriting of having that Specsavers on the ground floor. So, you know, that element got valued at, you know, 240,000, which meant I was getting the rest of the property effectively for £100,000. And
so you got a building with a retail unit on the ground floor. Did you need to extend that lease? Did you any involvement in negotiating a lease extension to increase value, or just was it already there in place?
No, that was already in place, and you know, it was re-signed pretty much before we had the offer accepted, and it's in place for 10 years. So yeah, I mean, that enabled, you know, getting commercial lending on that element of the property. I'm splitting the title simultaneously on purchase, so you know, effectively, you know, 75% of the project is funded by that element. And then in terms of the rest of the property,
yeah, so we're talking a bit of extra strategy there. So I just casually chuck in a title split. So just kind of recapping. So here's a building that you, how did it come to you? Did you come to you, one of your sourcing methods? How did it come to you? Was it just on
literally on Rightmove? Yeah. And I'd looked at another property close by, another hotel. That deal had fallen through, so I went straight back in there to see what it was about. Popped up, and just on Rightmove commercial.
So just kind of what I'd like to do is kind of, you know, for our listeners, is to put ourselves in your head, right? So when you, because a lot of people might see something like that on Rightmove, but not really see the opportunity. So you just missed out on one. You go back on Rightmove. This building pops up. What was it that lit the light bulb that went opportunity? How did you see that? What just take us through, if you can, you know, what your thought process was when that popped up?
Yeah, so I guess first of all, it was location. So it's in the middle of a national park, right in the center of town. So from a demand perspective, you know, an established tourist area, I thought demand would be good for serviced accommodation, which is, I guess, the strategy which I was keen to move into.
Right. So that I think is the first thing for our listeners to think, right, you've got to know what you're looking for. So although you weren't, let's say, looking for a building exactly like that, your mindset was, I'm looking for something to do service accommodation in this area.
Yeah.
So it opens up the reticular activating system, I believe it's called. So that's the importance of having a clear strategy that's linked to your vision, I guess, so that when something does pop up, it flags in your brain, you go, right, okay, yeah, location, good. And then what? So you look at this building, location, great for what you want to do. How do you take it?
Yeah, and then in terms of you know, obviously the what is on the market for was on the market for 340. I could see the Specsavers, I could see the retail unit. I'm immediately thinking, hey, that's a tier one tenant in the building. Therefore, that element on its own is very valuable. You know, forget the rest of the property, which was effectively a closed hotel. So it was established here, but it was closed and had been closed for a couple of years. So that under like it's, you know, that was a massive benefit because it underwrote the whole piece. I immediately thought about the title split strategy because effectively if I can separate that from the rest, it leaves the rest of the property unencumbered, debt free. And that's really, really valuable then to, in terms of raising money for the purchase, but also for the development. And I think the budget is about $230,000 to renovate the rest of the property. In the end, I'm working with a crowdfunding company for that are funding the purchase and the development of the hotel element. Originally, for the ground floor element, originally I was working with a commercial lender, standard commercial lender, but actually I switched that finance now to an angel investor who's using their SIP to do a loan back to my limited company. And actually the benefit of working with somebody like that is they're much more flexible to work with. You know, I can go right up to the top of the loan to value rules. We can work together to underwrite the risk on the deal. Whereas once you go down the commercial lending route, you know, you can get downvalued, or they want to minimize the risk through the process, and all of a sudden you're having to put more money into the deal. So the structure, I guess, of the funding is a little bit complex, but it's quite creative, but it's a really good result, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, one of our courses that we have is called Creative Deal Structuring, and I think you're ticking a lot of boxes on this one. So we're talking title split, service accommodation, commercial property, SIP, loan backs, crowdfunding.
Yeah, I think it is my New Year's resolution just to keep things simple. I'm not managing to do it.
But this is it's such a good example for everyone to listen to think, well, look, you know, there's always a way of doing a deal if you're willing to, you know, firstly, well, you probably need to know what you're doing, which you obviously definitely do. You need to know what kind of options there are out there. That's where the kind of the network and training might help. And then it's just about pulling it all together, isn't it? And using all these options that are open to you. So I get a lot of, you know, students or people that come to me and say, well, you know, how do you finance a £2 million building? Or, yeah, how do you get an angel investor that's going to lend you that? It's like, well, they're out there. You know, you have to go talk to people, go find them and use your network.
No, it's amazing. I mean, and again, you know, that's part of the discipline, isn't it? That, you know, you're all the time you're talking to people around, you know, what you're doing. And, you know, this particular angel came via a family friend, you know, the complete third party to me. But they've got a problem in that they're not getting a return on their pension. You know, they've got £500,000 in their pension. They're approaching retirement and they're sick of getting a poor return from Standard Life or whoever. So the return that I can give him is super attractive. And it's hopefully a platform now for you know, future projects with working with him.
Amazing. Cool. So this project, Apart Hotel, give us some, you know, some ballpark numbers on, you know, when completed, what do you estimate that the GDV is going to be of that, of the whole building? And, you know, probably any income projections that you're thinking about that you can make, so we can look at how you've kind of funded something 100%, use all these creative means and methods, and what, you know, what's the end result for you?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking from a sort of a gross income perspective, you know, really conservative figures. I think we're looking at around 50% occupancy. You know, it will deliver, you know, north of 100K profit every year. And then, you know, as the occupancy moves up and the rates move up, yeah, the profit will multiply. But, you know, I think we're looking at, you know, £1.1 million GDV on the property, having acquired it for £340,000. So that really does, yeah, push up the current value, and that's super conservative. I'm very comfortable with those figures and numbers, and yeah, I would expect an occupancy of around the 70% mark in reality. And yeah, I think, you know, the room rates that are being in the marketplace and generally have really nudged up. So yeah, I think it's going to be strong in the numbers once we get it operational. And we're looking to move really quickly. Hoping to get the keys tomorrow, and we want to be open for June.
Wow, amazing. So is it kind of just a light refurb on the hotel rooms?
Yeah, there's eight established rooms which are a light refurb in effect, and then there's two additional properties, if you like, or buildings which we have the option of moving into, and they are a bit more of a challenge, but we're toying between doing them in phases or doing them together, and I think we're going to push and do them together just whilst we've got the build team in the area. We've got the budget to do the renovation, so but yeah, the I've got a really motivated partner that I'm working with who's really good at delivery, which is again really key.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. I mean, just to recap, so here we are, you know, the property pops up and Rightmove, that you're going to end up effectively financing entirely by angels and crowdfunding, that's going to deliver you conservatively 100 grand a year.
Yeah.
Or your angel money back out.
Yeah, 100%. You know, then, you know, I'll be disappointed with that. I'm hoping for a lot more.
Yeah. So, you know, I said it's just a good example of having a clear vision, knowing what you're looking for, although not, doesn't have to be exactly, but the model, something that will work. But one thing that interests me about, you know, hotels and this industry is the cost element of it. So how are you keeping the costs down so your profits, you know, so your net profit is higher? Just a lot of hotels, you know, staffing, all these kinds of issues that, that ramp up your costs.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, because it's a new area for me, you know, I have employed a mentor and I continue to employ a mentor for this specific project because, again, you know, I don't want to make mistakes. You know, I'd rather work with someone that's experienced in this specific area to help me deliver a first-class project. So, yeah, working with them, they've given me all the tricks of the trade in terms of, you know, the automated booking systems, having our own booking website, you know, keyless entry in terms of locks and managing the whole tenant, well, visitor journey, if you like, to make it as streamlined and automated as possible. So I'm also, when I'm down in the area on Thursday, I'm meeting with a number of cleaning companies, and also there is a hotel adjacent to the property, and potentially looking to work with them to do some of the local heavy lifting, if you like. So, you know, looking for the cleaning companies to do more than cleaning and see how much they want to take on. Plus there's, yeah, I guess there's the opportunity for reciprocation between my property, which won't have any catering, and the adjacent hotel, which you know, obviously has an operation, which is desirable to me, but at the same time, my customers are desirable to them in terms of breakfasts, lunch and dinner kind of thing. So, yeah, that's the next step, really, to getting into all the practical details once we grab the keys.
Yeah, amazing. Well, what a fantastic project. You know, you sound very kind of, you know, not casual, but you know, in terms of, well, I know you're a pretty laid back guy anyway. But it feels like this is just, again, inevitable. It's just, this is happening. That's great. It's all under control. Although I'm sure there's some challenges we're going to come on to. But I know that your focus is not just entirely there. You're also looking at other projects as well. So you need to be kind of super organized and also, you know, just nice and calm about it all. Don't need to get overexcited. I mean, it'd be nice when the income starts coming in, for sure. But yeah, you know, you just very much come across as a man with a plan.
Well, I mean, you make a good couple of points there, Nick. I mean, you know, being resilient in this industry is super important. And, you know, I think people of our age, Nick, we know that life will always throw you challenges, and it's how you react. And That is the bottom line. And you know, you can either choose to react negatively or choose to react positively. So that's a basic point for anyone, I think. You know, I've learned the lesson over the years. Got the gray hair as testament. But no, that piece is really important, to stay level-headed, to, you know, understand your emotions, understand your reactions, and then look to not manage that, but be aware of it and the impact it can have on you personally. So, and you know, you can build that resilience so that you know you are able to cope with those challenges, which are absolutely inevitable. Everyone has the same challenges in reality. Yeah. And the people that are successful react the right way.
So what are some of the challenges of this project being, or any of the projects being involved? What are some of your major hurdles you had to overcome?
Yeah, I mean, it's through the whole process, isn't it? It's, you know, first of all, under challenge of structuring the deal, coming up with a structure that works, accessing and managing the funding. I had some specific challenges around my solicitor in the process. I've had to swap them out through the process. And that actually resulted in the switch from the commercial lender to the pension option. It's a listed building. So, you know, all the challenges around planning and meeting the heritage officer. Luckily, she loves dogs. So the minute I said we're putting kennels in each of the rooms. She dropped her. She was my best friend all of a sudden. But you know, BAT surveys, having the right planning consultants in place to overcome all these specific issues, and just don't be knocked off course, because you know it's easily be knocked off course when you get these problems. Well, but you know, this, you just need to push through, and it's those that push through that will win.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned the word a few times, but resilience is absolutely critical in this business. Yeah, you know, I get the impression that sometimes, you know, people might have been on a free course, a one day course or something that makes everything look so easy. But, you know, I can't think of one property deal I've ever done that's gone smoothly, 100%. There's always been a challenge or series of challenges to overcome, and it's you know, having the right people around you to help you and to build in that that resilience that gets you over, you know, these kind of issues. My view is there's always a way to solve it, you just got to find it.
Exactly, or
find someone that knows how to solve it.
Exactly, yeah, that's a great point. Don't think it's always you that needs to solve it. You know, lean on your network, ask for help. I mean, asking for help was always something that I struggled with, and but no, you know, 3-4 brains are much better than mine.
Yeah, it's kind of removing any of that ego out of it, isn't it? I'm just thinking, yeah, you know, I why would I be expected to do everything? I don't, you know, you've got to go out and find the help from people that do. You know, we're fortunate in that we have a very strong network of people doing bigger and better things than us. So there's always someone to ask. Fab. All right, so we've got a hotel there. So what else you got going on, James? You mentioned a pub conversion to me before we came on. So
yeah, I guess in order of chronological order, I think we'll go with. So we've got another really nice project. It's a closed pub, again a closed property, which has been out of action. We're looking to convert that to 8 units in South Wales, and again we're picking that up for 180,000, and we will create eight flats as part of that. We potentially might go down the serviced accommodation route, because of there's the Bike Park Wales, which is very close by. But we've got two options really. We can, there's demand for tenants, for normal buy-to-lets, but yeah, we may look to increase our income by looking to go down the SA route. And given all the systems that we'd be building for the other hotel, you know, all of that's available. It'll literally be another branch of the operation in the area.
You kind of mentioned Bike Park Wales. For anyone that's not sure, just give them a view.
If you think ski resort, you know, basically it's a massive facility. I guess built on an open cast mine in South Wales near Merthyr Tydfil, and you know, there's dedicated ski runs, loads of equipment hire there. You've got guides. You've got lifts to drag you back up the thing. It's a really well-run operation. It's been so popular, they're actually doubling the size of it, going down the other side of the valley. And it's a national quality operation really, or tourist attraction. Lots of people that I work with in London, they head down there on the weekend. That's really close by. And yeah, but there's a real shortage of accommodation for that.
Yeah, amazing. So that's kind of in process. Is that, have you bought that yet? Is that kind of in negotiation?
We had the offer accepted. We secured it on an option. We've got another BAT survey to do there. It's in planning. We would look to get that through really and started sort of September, October, I think.
Yeah. Is that one listed as well?
No.
Okay. Cool. All right. So we've got a pub conversion going on. Anything else? What else you got going on?
The next one is just down on the south coast there in South Wales. It's a large retail commercial unit, which had offices above, so commercial to residential. It's coming with planning for 13 apartments. So we will end up with three retail units. And actually, my experience of buying the other property and understanding the spec savers lease and the value of that element has really been valuable in looking at the value of this new property. The current owner, he bought a lot of the row on the high street there, and he's kind of made his money in the other units, and now he wants to go off to Manchester and make more money up there. So he sees this as an annoyance, but for us, it's, you know, £2 million GDV, it's 13 units, we've got planning, we're buying it at 450. It's going to cost 650 to renovate, so we're looking at £1 million profit if we can get the job done. So again, I'm using crowdfunding to fund that, and they are funding most of the purchase and all of the redevelopment. And then I'm using we're doing a loan back to the seller, so vendor finance for the remainder of the deposit. So again, no money in that deal, and £1 million profit.
Another creative strategy just to throw in there, vendor finance deal as well.
Yeah. So is there any left, Nick?
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure there are, James. I think you covered pretty much all of it. Option, yeah. You haven't done an option. Cool. So this one is, in terms of the crowdfunding, I think that's an interesting way of financing things. So how do you get involved in that? And how are they, you said they're basically lending almost all the purchase price and all of the development. So what are they basing their figures on, and how did you get into that?
Yeah, I find them, I've worked with them a lot, and I find them really easy to work with. And, you know, effectively, they start with the GDV of the project, and they have different, you know, different crowd funds have different criteria. But the first organization I worked with, you know, they would lend up to 65% of the GDV of the project. And then, you know, so once you have the valuation ready, and done on the project, you effectively get the green light for the finance.
A survey that projects the GDV based on, you know, what your forecasts are and what you're going to do with the building.
Yeah, 100%. And again, you know, I've used them for the hotel, and again, you know, you have to almost educate the surveyor. You know, because the surveyors, you know, they have a certain approach, and it depends on their experience. And, you know, I worked really hard with the first surveyor to make sure they got the right valuation. And actually, I mean, there was so much headroom in that one. Actually, it wasn't a stretch. And then with this current project on the south coast in Wales, I mean, 13 apartments are 13 apartments, you know, it's fairly clear what they're going to be worth. The only sort of grey area was the commercial element.
Yeah.
I've got another trick for that one. I'm thinking of starting my own coffee shop business to rent from my limited company. So we have, you know, I've become my own tenant there, really. So So that
can you pension?
Yes. Yeah, through the SaaS. Yeah. So that can facilitate the filling some of the tenants when it comes back to the refinance bit there.
I think this is, for me anyway, one of the most exciting part of commercial development rather than resi is the ability to control a lot more elements of it. You know, I generally find that surveyors work with you. They're not just this person that turns up and does their own thing. They're actually have to control what you're doing. I've just been going through a refinancing process on our Edinburgh hotel, and I've been back and forth with the surveyor, you know, for the last couple of weeks, just asking a bit of information here and there to help them get to the figure that we all agreed that we want it to be, and that involve and that includes a finance lender as well, who are basically telling the surveyor where the number needs to be for them. So it's a much more controllable process, and I think it takes that element of guesswork out of it. I guess that when you're starting out in resi, is something that people struggle with. I think is the how do we know what somebody's going to value at? Harder in resi. When you get into the bigger stuff, though, it becomes more controllable. And you know, yes, you're dealing with bigger numbers, but you're actually dealing with a little bit more certainty, I think.
Yeah, and it's just, and you know, the headroom on both of these projects is so big, you know, that actually we're not scrimping for every last £1,000 on the valuation, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to take out, after we refinance this particular one, you know, we'll be taking out 300,000 to 400,000 at 65% loan to value. So given, you know, I don't need to push to 70 or 75, and you know, that's, I'm not trying to get to MIMO with that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm way past MIMO, you know. It's just how much are we going to pull out?
Yeah.
So you know, that's a much better position to be in, to have having that extra sort of headroom and comfort.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I mean, you know, having quite a lot of ground there, I think, and some really, really exciting projects on a bigger scale. So for those of you, you know, if you're listening to this thinking that's where you want to be, talking about these kinds of projects, getting involved, it, you know, it does really start with, you know, I think getting some level of education to understand what you're doing, build your team around you, and certainly the support network is really, really important. But you know, how else can people get, you know, from doing the, you know, going from the standard kind of resi type of investment into, you know, into these kinds of deals? As we discussed earlier, it's really, I think, just a question of having that vision of this is where I want to be, and then taking the actions towards it. It kind of sounds simple. I know it's not easy, but it is relatively simple.
Yeah, it is relatively simple. It's just about, you know, putting the time in. I mean, I recently won on the commercial to residential, sorry, the commercial implementer up in Southport with Asad and Rick, and you know, that was a great 3 days for me. You know, because it really, again, you get so much confidence and ideas and from those sessions, and you know, every opportunity I get to listen to those guys and to you, Nick, and the rest of the team, you know, I'll take and, you know, and use that for my own motivation. So it's, you know, it's just about immersing yourself in it and taking action. And it's not difficult. We know it's not difficult. It does require discipline, you know, persistence and resilience to move, push things along.
And do the work, as Arnold Schwarzenegger says. I'm reading his book, Being Useful, which is brilliant. So reps, just doing the same things, and just becomes muscle memory. You just get on with it, right?
100%. I mean, he's a great example, isn't he? I mean, he was in Austria. He had his sets worked out every day. That's what he did. Yeah. That's what he prioritized every day. And you know, look where that got him. You know, governor of California. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
great story. Incredible.
Absolutely, yeah. Cool. All right. So, dying to hear your kind of words of wisdom for those starting out on this particular journey. You know, moving from maybe standard residential buy to let's know that kind of thing into the bigger deals. You know, I think that's where a lot of people that get into property want to get to. Maybe not sure how. So, maybe give us your what would you say are the three key behaviors of a successful kind of larger scale investor?
You know, for me it's the same, Nick. You know,
you can have more than three if you like.
Well, it's being motivated to achieve. It's the discipline of doing it every day, and it's the persistence and the resilience just to crack on and keep going, I think. But ultimately, you know, why am I doing this? You know, I'm doing this to create my own autonomy in my life, as you said, you know, my time on this planet is ticking away, as is yours, Nick. And, you know, I want to make the most out of those future days, months, years, hopefully, you know, with my new family. You know, I want to be able to live that life on my terms. And that's non-negotiable. And that's why I'm pushing so hard. And plus, I enjoy it. It's so rewarding, you know, overcoming these problems is and challenges, and seeing the results, and the people that you work with, the people that you can count on, you know, those interactions, those relationships are so real and tangible. And when you work as a team to deliver an outcome, you know, there's nothing like it. I can't get that from my corporate job. So that's why I'm so focused.
Fantastic. Well, it's been great to talk to you, James. Anybody that wants to connect with you, how would they do that?
Yeah, Instagram is the channel I tend to use. So at James Horgan Property is the channel. So yeah, feel free to reach out to me there, and we can have a chat.
Fantastic. And yeah, for anybody that's thinking about getting into property or wants to learn how to scale up, come to our website, propertywealthsystem.co.uk. We do run weekly webinars that introduce you into what we do, what we teach. So do come along and join us there. But in the meantime, James, it's been fantastic to catch up. Congratulations on your family and your house situation. It's made your life goals ticked off in recent months. So it's amazing. And you've got all this going on and holding down, said, a pretty high pressure, high stress corporate job as well. So great to catch up. You know, for anyone else out there, there's no excuses. You know, if you can do it, and I would say the same thing, if I can do it, then anyone can do it. You just 100%. Have that vision, you know, look at those key behaviors that James mentioned, and we take it from there. That's how we scale up. That's how we go big. Amazing. Thank you, James. Great to see you again.
Thanks, Nick. See you soon.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that podcast. It's always great to catch up with our Property Wealth System friends and family, and find out how they're getting on, and particularly when they're, you know, getting into some bigger things and using all of the creative techniques that we teach through our training at Property Wealth System. So if you enjoyed that, do listen to the back catalogue of our podcast. We've got some really, really great stuff coming up over the next few weeks as well. And if you're looking to get help with some training, then you can always find us at propertywealthsystem.co.uk. Speak to you soon.